After we have passed the Caspian Sea and the Scythian Ocean, our course takes an easterly direction, such being the turn here taken by the line of the coast. The first portion of these shores, after we pass the Scythian promontory, is totally uninhabitable, owing to the snow, and the regions adjoining are uncultivated in consequence of the savage state of the nations which dwell there. Here are the abodes of the Scythian anthropophagi, who feed on human flesh. Hence it is that all around them consists of vast deserts, inhabited by multitudes of wild beasts, which are continually lying in wait, ready to fall upon human beings just as savage as themselves. After leaving these, we again come to a nation of the Scythians, then again to desert tracts tenanted by wild beasts, until we reach a chain of mountains which runs up to the sea and bears the name of Tabis. It is not, however, before we have traversed very nearly one half of the coast that looks towards the northeast that we find it occupied by inhabitants. The first people that are known of here are the Seres, so famous for the wool that is found in their forests. After steeping it in water, they comb off a white down that adheres to the leaves, and then, to the females of our part of the world, they give the twofold task of unravelling their textures and weaving the threads afresh. So manifold is the labour, and so distant are the regions which are thus ransacked, to supply a dress through which our ladies may in public display their charms. The Seres are of inoffensive manners, but bearing a strong resemblance therein to all savage nations, they shun all intercourse with the rest of mankind, and await the approach of those who wish to traffic with them. The first river that is known in their territory is the Citharus, next to that the Cambari, and the third the Laros, after which we come to the promontory of Chrys, the Gulf of Cinaba, the river Atianos, and the nation of the Atacori on the gulf of that name, a people protected by their sunny hills from all noxious blasts, and living in a climate of the same temperature as that of the Hyperborae. They also informed us that the side of their island, which lies opposite to India, is 10,000 stadia in length and runs in a southeasterly direction, that beyond the Imodian mountains they look towards the Serae, whose acquaintance they have made in their pursuits of commerce, that the father of the Ratius had frequently visited their country, and that the Seres always came to meet them on their arrival. These people, they said, exceeded the ordinary human height, had flaxen hair and blue eyes, and made an uncouth sort of noise by way of talking, having no language of their own for the purpose of communicating their thoughts. The rest of their information was of a similar nature to that communicated by our merchants. It was to the effect that the merchandise on sale was left by them upon the opposite bank of a river on their coast, and that it was removed by the natives if they thought proper to deal on terms of exchange. On no grounds ought luxury with greater reason to be detested by us than if we only transport our thoughts to these scenes and then reflect what are its demands, to what distant spots it sends in order to satisfy them, and for how mean and unworthy an end.